I could hear my heart pounding in my chest, the headphones drowning out most other noise and leaving the thudding to echo in my head. For a long moment, there was nothing except the air-conditioned air dancing over my naked body as the restraints on the strange mechanical chair held me tightly in place. Then the visor came to life. It took a second to warm up, casting the dim light of a TV screen of pure blackness, switched on in an otherwise dark room, somehow glaringly bright directly right in front of my eyes, despite the fact that there was no image. Green text appeared, scrolling too quickly to read. Some kind of computer boot-up information, talking about each system it checked and confirming they were working before flashing past, as more and more information was displayed. Finally, this also vanished, and slowly, the screen before my eyes started to glow, and an image began to bleed in. I was nearly frantic. I expected to feel the prick of a drip being put into my arm, or the pinch of a syringe piercing my flesh. But I had been left alone in the room, strapped into the chair, visor on my head, and it seemed like this was all they intended to do. The image slowly came into focus, and I was staring into a swirling vortex of color. The background was a dull gray, and from the edges of the visor and periphery of my vision, I saw the color red bleeding in, like spilled paint, running slowly towards the center of the screen. It moved in ever-decreasing circles, spiraling inwards, giving the illusion that it was sinking deeper and deeper away, and I was staring down into a great pit, as if there were some kind of slowly growing red, slippery dip towards a central point, so gray and distant looking that it was almost black. Around and around, down and down, deeper and deeper. My heartbeat slowed a little. I had expected something more horrid to be displayed. This wasn't so bad. The headphones came to life next. It took me a moment to comprehend that I was hearing noise at all. It started so low, built up so slowly, and was so subtle. It was like white noise, a whisper so quiet that the words were imperceptible, but just loud enough that I knew there were people talking, almost as if they were in another room. It was so unobtrusive that it was easy to let it become background noise and to forget about it. I couldn't make out the words, no matter how hard I focused on the noise, so there was no point really paying it much mind. Besides, white noise was always soothing in its own way. It always made me feel like I was safe, surrounded by a soft hubbub of activity. Like there were other people in the room who could keep watch for danger or alert me about problems, so I could take a moment to just relax. The colors before my eyes changed, and just like that, my attention snapped fully back to them, letting the humming white noise become the background sound for my brain. A kind of garish yellow seeped in from the edges, joining the red in its spin towards the center of the deep well. It traveled alongside the red, tumbling down and down, deeper and deeper, slowly and easily slipping away into nothingness. I watched the colors. What else could I do? They span and sank down the spiral, and I stared into the center of it, waiting to watch them meet in the middle and give color to the black dot in the center of my vision. But they didn't. They seemed to sink deeper and deeper, but no matter how far they sank, they never seemed to reach the bottom. It seemed like there was always deeper to go. The addition of the yellow only highlighted how far the red spiral had gone, and how far was left to go. I watched, curious to see if the yellow spiral would catch up. I watched because it felt nice. A little ripple of warmth ran through my body, and I felt myself relax in the chair. I didn't know what this was or what they thought they were doing, but this was all right. I watched the spinning colors and felt my muscles lose their tension, the cushioning of the strange chair welcoming me. My lips parted in a slight sigh as I breathed out some of the fear and panic I had been feeling, and focused my attention on watching the spiral. The soft hum of the white noise in my ears made me feel a little detached, like I was slipping towards the edge of sleep. I tried to form thoughts, but the humming sound seemed to compete for my attention, and they became harder and harder to put together. I tried to focus on the spiral, but it became easier and easier to relax my eyes, let my vision become unfocused, and just take in the spinning colors and the deepness of the spiral rather than stare at any fixed point. Blue was next. I didn't focus my eyes. That felt hard to do. I didn't want to struggle against this feeling of peace, so I just let the knowledge that blue was slowly following the other colors come down to me as it started to join the endless tumble. I felt a small pinprick of excitement. My breath caught in my throat a little as it joined the spiral, my body warming more and more as another tingle ran through me, this one eliciting a little gasp. The blue spanned down, deeper and deeper, and I felt it drawing my thoughts with it. I tried to think of things, tried to rouse myself from the weary, relaxed, warm half-sleep I found myself in. But my thoughts felt heavy. The white noise and the dancing colors were like a thick, pink fog in my mind, clouding everything, making thoughts hard to find. It felt good, very good now. The haze seemed to spread through my mind, and I felt the muscles in my stomach tighten just a little, as if the fog had run a finger through the sensitive skin of my neck, or brushed warm lips along my hip unexpectedly. A thrill went through me. I felt my nipples harden. A voice cried out in my head. My voice. It came from far in the back, a great distance away, struggling to be heard over the hum and draw of the colors. It told me something that, as soon as I heard it, I understood that I already knew. I was giving myself over to these colors and noises. I was in danger. This relaxation, these tingles, this fog, they were wrong. They were bad, and I had to fight them. Suddenly, the fog started to lift as I clenched my fists, pushing against the urge to lean back in the chair and watch with all my willpower. There was another voice in my head, a very clear one, asking why we had to fight. Why we had to struggle. Couldn't we just relax, let our guard down, and for a moment just enjoy this? It felt so wonderful. I grit my teeth and forced myself to focus, pulling against the restraints of the chair. No, I hissed through the clenched teeth. No, I'm not going to do this. With supreme effort, I closed my eyes, blocking out the spiral before me. A rush of disappointment ran through me, and despite myself, I heard a sob of misery that must have come from me. The sweet embrace of the colors, the comforting repetition of the hum, the warm, thick, pink fog that made thinking give way to feeling, the slight tug of arousal that had started to build as my nipples had become tight peaks. It all started to recede so quickly, and God help me, I missed it. More than I thought I would. For a moment, the world had been so simple. All I had to do was sink into the cushions, watch the light, listen to the hum, and let myself feel good. It had made so much sense, and it had felt so good. Instinctively, like even the most innocent of virgins, I had been made aware that if I just kept going and let it wash over me, the pleasure would have built up and up. In defiance, however, I squeezed my eyes closed tight mentally refusing to even acknowledge the colors that I could still see as obscured light pounding against my eyelids. I wasn't about to give in so easily. They could keep the light show going as long as they wanted. Nothing could make me open my eyes. As if on cue, the chair began to move. Much like the dentist chair it seemed to be modeled from, it jerked slightly, starting to recline. The parts that held my arms moving out to the sides, the parts that held my legs spreading as well, the knees bending, moving me into an exposed position that instantly reminded me of a gynecologist's stirrups. The movement startled me, and I gave a squeal more girlish than I had wanted. My eyes shot open as the panic came through me in a great wave, and my animal instincts kicked in. I knew all I would see was the spiral, but my primitive terror demanded I open my eyes and try to employ my most powerful sense to defend myself against this new threat. The chair tilted back more and more, laying me with it, taking me into a prone position. Even as it spread my arms out wide, parted my legs, and bent them at the knees. My eyes were greeted with the spiral, and, in a rush more potent than I had been ready for, I felt myself suck in a breath, my naked breasts rising. A warm tension spread from my stomach, and quickly, that comfortable mist started to fill my mind again. I heard a sound from around me, a moan, slow and lazy, like a harlot's soft submission. Had I made that noise? I realized my mouth was slack, my eyes starting to lose focus. Maybe I had. It did feel good. Good enough to give another moan. Maybe I could look for just a second. I had struggled so hard. It couldn't hurt me to just relax for a moment and feel good just a little bit. I felt the fight slipping out of me as the warmth spread and my breathing picked up. The fog filled my mind. I was lost in it, like a cloud of sweet perfume, making me feel giddy and light. All thoughts, except looking into the spiral, began to feel warm, wet, and heavy. They were melting into a hot goo. I felt my womanhood flutter powerfully once. My clit twitched, starting to feel alive with sensitivity. It felt so good. I wanted more. I wanted more of my thoughts to melt down under the heat of this fog. It felt like the heavy clouds of pink heat were caressing the pleasure centers of my body, sparking my body to arousal against my will, stimulating the parts of me that controlled them directly. It was a pleasure more pure and unfettered than the simple act of sex. It was release, pleasure, arousal, and surrender, all rolled into a perfect sensation of bliss. I stared into the spiral with unfixed, unfocused vision. I wanted to reach the center. What had happened to the girl who fought so hard just moments ago? Here she was now, gasping, as she felt the muscles of her swiftly warming sex clench once, a hungry emptiness starting to build inside her. I furrowed my brow. I could fight this. I knew I could. I didn't want to, but I could. Maybe that was enough. Maybe I could just let my thoughts melt away, knowing I could break free any moment I wanted to. The mere thought of letting my mind melt sent another quick, hungry flutter through my loins, and an accompanying whimper slipped between my parted lips as they hung open limply. No, it was a trap, and I had to struggle free. Giving a long, feral groan of effort, I forced my eyes closed again, panting with exhaustion at the strength required to tear myself from the lights and sensations. my hips bucked up, unbidden, like a denied lover. My fingers dug into the arm of the chair, gripping the cushioning as I bit back a plea for more that bubbled in my throat. My mouth snapped closed, and I swallowed a few times, feeling how dry it had become, as I had been panting and staring slack-jawed. Pulling myself away from this sensation was the hardest thing I had ever done. I was fighting every primal instinct in me that told me to just let myself go and give in. My head still felt groggy and heavy, my eyes still fighting to stay closed as the light hitting them promised a return to ecstasy. I felt the thoughts turn to liquid, hot and thick, running down my spine, making goosebumps rise with its passing as my skin prickled with an erotic electricity. It flowed down, running a hot path into my belly, down between my legs, and leaked out of me. My thoughts, my very self, a glistening sheen of arousal, now staining my pink sex as the sensitive flesh started to grow with heat. "Please," I sobbed. Was I begging for them to stop, or was I begging for more? I couldn't tell the difference in the sound of my own voice. I gave voice to my need, my fear, my frustration, and all my want as one sound, and it danced back and forth across the line of a sound born of pain and a sound born of pleasure. "Please." The chair moved again. I felt a sense of revulsion at myself as I accepted that some part of me was looking forward to what would happen next. Some part of me was waiting for any excuse to open my eyes again and fall back into surrender. My heartbeat raced. Was this anticipation born of want or terror? I could hardly distinguish. I felt the chair moving mechanically, some part of the base shifting,
making hydraulic noises.
Despite my eyes being tightly closed and my ears covered, some sixth sense told me something was moving between my legs. I tensed up, my pussy clenched once, wantingly, and I gave a breathless groan as a jolt of pleasure went through me. I fought down the rising urge to open my eyes. I heard the mechanism move again, then felt the small, round rubber knot come to rest unerringly against my hood. It was cool, and I clamped my mouth tightly closed as a little excited squeal almost caught me by surprise. My little button jumped and twitched at the contact, every tiny movement a tide of sensation that threatened to build up. I squeezed my hands into fists, trying to control my body by will alone, demanding that it not be turned on, that it not softly roll itself back and forth, rubbing gently against the cool, rubbery toy, that those lusty sighs stop. Another sensation, and I lose a little bit of the struggle, my mouth opening in a wanton sexual moan. Something firm, simulating flesh with plastic, tapered and phallic, touches my wet sex. The tip is thick and hard, unyielding, as the machine slowly applies pressure. I feel my sex starting to part, the sensation of being stretched starting to build up, my flesh relenting, opening. The toy has ridges and bumps. I can feel them pushing against my resistance, teasing my entrance. And then, with a sound of pure animal satisfaction, it slips into me. My womanhood opens eagerly and easily, clamping down on it, only to try to draw it deeper. I feel another smaller, similarly shaped and textured object touch my back door. My ass clenches tightly. The toy doesn't penetrate me there, but it comes to rest, pushing lightly, making me startlingly aware of how sensitive the muscles there have become. My hips buck. I lie to myself, telling myself I'm trying to pull away, that I don't want this. But I'm not fooling anyone, least of all myself. The toy is slick with my own honey, wet with the leaking remnants of the thought that the glowing spiral had melted away. The spiral, oh God. How amazing would being stretched and felt like this feel, coupled with the effects of the spiral. I make a broken sound, my willpower almost depleted. I want that. I want to give in. I want to feel stretched and full as the spiral slowly empties my mind. It's only by a thin shred of ego that I fight it back. I can't give in to this. I can still fight. The toys start to move, and I know I'm wrong. My back arches and my mouth flies open as the little rubber nub of my clit comes alive and starts to vibrate. There is no buildup. It starts at a speed that I would normally consider too much too quickly. I'm unable to pull away as my overly stimulated clit sends jarring bolts of confusingly arousing pain and terrifyingly stark pleasure rushing into my brain. It's too much, but I can't escape it. The dildo inside me starts to move on a piston, pulling me back, leaving me feeling empty, letting me clench down against nothing in a desperate bid to keep it inside me before it firmly plunges back into me. Even through the headphones, I hear the sound of my wet flesh opening as it fucks me. It's relentless, setting a firm pace, pushing deep, deep inside me, making my breath come in anguished gasps of bliss. I try to angle my hips away, wanting to stop it from pounding so deeply, so early, needing more time to get used to the sensation before something so overwhelming happens. But there's no way to wiggle away, no sound I can make that makes the machine slow down or consider my needs. It pumps me, hammering into my depths over and over, conceding nothing and demanding that I adapt to its motion. To my equal parts rapture and dismay, I do, very quickly. The last toy buzzes with violent power, each deep thrust leaving it pushed against that most intimate of areas between my cheeks, the vibrations shaking me through and through. I know this is against my will. I know I should hate this. I know this is wrong. I know that I'm lost to it. I feel powerless, pleasured, dominated, and out of control. My tongue lolls out from between my panting lips like a bitch in heat. What on earth could I do to resist this? I'm only human. The machine is unstoppable. It plows through my defense so casually, sparking this bestial need to come. My hips roll wantonly. I cry out in pleasure. I don't care who watches or what they think of me now. I need this. I need this. I need to open my eyes, to look into those lights, to feel this perfect pleasure. I know what it means. If I open my eyes and stare into the lights while this machine fucks my little pussy, I'll cum myself away. I'll be blank-eyed, staring, a wet little slave like Sarah was. I'll become this cock-sucking whore these people want me to be, put up for sale, always on the brink of this bliss, urgently wanting to be pinned down and used like this again and again. No thoughts, no mind, just holes to be fucked and pleasured to be had. It's the worst fate I could imagine, and I want it so badly. With a moan of surrender, I open my eyes. The colors rush into me, filling my vision, even as my tight pussy is filled, quickly and powerfully, over and over and over.
My resistance is nil. I have no fight left in me. I surrender utterly, giving in and let go. My jaw goes slack, my tongue still hanging, panting, my eyes unfocused. Every breath a strangled, grunted sound of sheer lust. The haze fills my mind once more, and I feel it dancing over my pleasure centers. My eyes roll back into my head as an unmatched heat and sensation grip me. I no longer need to stare into the lights. I've given myself over completely, and without my urge to fight back, they dissolve my mind into wetness. It seeps down into me as all that's left of me falls into the spiral. I feel my body tightening, my pussy quivering, as the most powerful orgasm of my life builds and builds like an unstoppable tidal wave ready to destroy me. I race towards it, grinding against the toys that are here to end me, begging to nobody at all, moaning sounds of surrender and need into the empty room. Everything explodes as I come with a scream. My thoughts pour out of my fluttering, clenching pussy as it tries in vain to milk the still pumping dildo. I gush my arousal down between my legs, dampening the chair under me as my personality, hopes, and dreams pour out of me, and my only regret is that there isn't more of me to give up so I can come harder. I don't know how long I come for. It doesn't matter. When, at last, the machine stops and the restraints are removed, I stare forward into nothing, a small smile on my lips, the back of my thighs glistening with my wetness, naked. They order me out of the chair, and I obey, and a ripple of pleasure pulses inside me at obeying. My legs shake, but it doesn't matter. I just need them to last long enough to take me to a new master who can give me orders I can obey, so I can feel like this forever. Empty-eyed, I smile as I move towards the door. It opens before I arrive, and someone calls out towards me as they are dragged past. It takes me a moment to really register that it happened. It wasn't in order to obey, so I don't really pay it much attention. I'm already feeling the urge to be fucked again building, despite the rough treatment I just had. So, I move on towards the corridor and my new life.